This morning, I'm going to preach a message that I delivered about a year and a half ago here on January 20th, 2019. Of course, I've revised it some, but I wanted to share it again today with you. I believe it's very pertinent and it's rather fitting, something we all need to be continually reminded of. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, and I do pray you have your Bibles today. You can't fight spiritual warfare without your sword, right? So I pray you have your Bibles today. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And the title of this message is Fishers of Men. Fishers of Men. Having advanced in wisdom and stature, just so we kind of have our setting today, having advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, and having been baptized, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, the Bible tells us earlier in Luke's Gospel. And returning in the power of the Spirit and hearing of John the Baptist's imprisonment, Jesus departs for Galilee, where he begins his first preaching tour in that region. His message, of course, is one of repentance, for the kingdom is at hand. Amen. Now, let's read our verses and then we'll go back and read over them again. The Bible says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Amen. Verse 11, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him, that is Christ. Let us bow our hearts. Dear Almighty God, we come before you today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it is through his flesh, the veil that was torn, his body on the cross, and by the blood of the Lamb, we come boldly before your throne today to worship you, to praise you, to be grateful today, to honor you and glorify your name, but also to ask for your blessing, Lord, to fill our hearts and our minds with wisdom and understanding today in the Word of God. Father, help us to be these fishers of men that we're called to be. Help us, Lord, to do the job you've appointed us. Lord, strengthen us and give us courage in this undertaking. Father, now we pray today, this morning, in the reading and hearing of your word, that it be edifying, that it be pleasing to you, Lord, this worship this morning, and that we always remember in whom we abide, and that apart from you, we can do nothing. In Jesus Christ we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, miracles, casting out demons, healing the sick and diseased, Jesus' fame had spread in the region. And on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee, as is Tiberias, they're all synonymous, the crowd grew so large that Jesus had to move off land. And he had to make a fishing boat his preaching spot, his pulpit, if you will. And this, of course, further illustrates, it goes along his message about being made fishers of men. It works out perfect. And, of course, I believe he knew that. In verses 1 through 3, we read of chapter 5 in Luke, it said, "So it was," Luke writes, "so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he," that is Jesus, "got into one of the boats which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." From the boat. Now, of course, the language Luke is employing here, it describes a scene of urgency with the crowd, because they were pressing in so closely that Jesus could hardly preach. He could hardly teach. They were so excited. They were so enthused. They were coming about him and pressing in on every side. And so he decides to get out onto this boat that had been setting there or brought into shore in order to teach the masses who were crowding around him. You see, it was Passover, or at least at Passover in Jerusalem. The people had witnessed the signs that God was with Jesus. Miracles involving the prophesied messianic kingdom and its king were being fulfilled before their very eyes. And Luke tells us the people pressed in on Jesus for what? To hear the word of God. Amen. To hear the word of God. If only it were so in our world and in our nation today. If only folks were pressing into the church doors to hear the word of God. In Psalm 33, if I may share this psalm, just to kind of give some scriptural emphasis. Psalm 33, verses 4 through 9. The Psalter says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth." Verse 5 in Psalm 33, it says the Psalter, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
And then he says, By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. And then verse 8 and 9. "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast."
Amen.
If only people were pressing in today to hear the word of God. Of Jesus' teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum, Mark, in his gospel, he writes, quote unquote, "And they were astonished at his teaching," at Jesus' teaching. Why? "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Mark 1 verse 22 tells us. You see, being the very Logos, the very Word of God, Jesus made the Scriptures come to life.
Amen.
Because they spoke of him. It wasn't just his words that made an impact, you see, but who he is, as well as his actions, his good deeds, his miracles and signs. Now, the truth about God and his saving grace, you see, they do not require dressing up to be understood. To the sinner's malnourished soul, the gospel of salvation is like a king's banquet spread out for them. Jesus' words did not, in other words, require a lofty setting or a luxurious cathedral or an air-conditioned room to be effective or more impressive, you see. Every pulpit should be a fishing boat, so to speak.
Amen.
And the gospel of salvation should be our net to be cast into the depths of men's souls when we speak of the Lord and his holy word. And like these fishermen, if we're willing to surrender all that we have, our property, our possessions, to Him, to the Lord God Almighty, to Jesus Christ, we might be surprised at how God will use us and those possessions for His glory. Because the Bible tells us God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. And He rewards, here's the thing, He rewards those that trust Him. He rewards those that diligently seek Him and those that trust Him. Now, the intent of the multitude was no doubt diverse. You've got such a large crowd. Not everybody has the same motive for crowding in around the Lord. Some heard the word being taught to them and believed, while others heard Jesus but failed to make the connection. And more than Jesus' saving power, you see, others were there for the healing power, or merely just to be fed. So you had a little bit of diversity for their motives and reasons for crowding around the Lord Christ. In other words, enthusiasm for Christ is not the same as faith in Christ. Enthusiasm for Christ is not the same as faith in Christ. Who He is. That He died on a cross for our sins. And that in Him alone we have eternal life. And therefore we must repent. Therefore we must turn to Him. There is no other way. Faith in Christ. By grace through faith you've been saved, and that not of yourselves. Now Jesus soon turns His attention to His disciples. And although Simon, Andrew, James, and John followed Jesus, it would now become a full-time calling. It would become a full-time calling for these fishermen. Simon Peter had just cleaned his nets for the day. And of course, we might assume, and just assume, mind you, that he was tired, possibly, from fishing all day. And they were experienced fishermen and knew the lake well. And in verses 4 through 5, we read what Jesus said to them. When He had stopped speaking, it says in verse 4, He turned and said, or He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And then we read in verse 5 there where it says, "But Simon," that is Peter, "answered and said to Him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" I will let down the net. They were experienced. They knew the lake well. They knew the lake well. The deep mentioned in these verses there, the deep that Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep." In this passage, it is literally the deep part of the lake. Now, literally, that's what he's saying. And it's believed its max depth, the lake of Galilee, Sea of Galilee, the lake of Gennesaret there, is its max depth is said to vary around 141 feet deep, roughly. That's roughly. Now, the omniscient Lord, of course, He knew exactly where to catch the fish. He knew where they were. And if they weren't there, well, He could just make them be there. He not only used Peter's boat as a pulpit, but Jesus directed Simon and the other disciples. See, He was master. He was directing them. Just as you and I are God's instruments for evangelism, to preach the gospel. God can do it without us, but without us, He will not. We cannot, however, hug the shoreline, the deep. Go out into the deep. That's where the fish are. Can't hug the shoreline. We have to trust the Lord to guide us. And we have to be willing to venture out into the deep where the fish are hiding. And I like what William MacDonald says in his Bible commentary. He writes, quote unquote, "Faith has its deep waters, and so do suffering, sorrow, and loss. It is these that fill the nets with fruitfulness." It is these that fill the nets with fruitfulness. I'm going to pause in my sermon here. I wrote a little note. I'm going to share a little fishing story with you, if I may, of my own, since we're talking about being fishers of men. And I already see my dear mother just having a grin on her face. We were fishing, and I was a young little fella, just a little lad, and I can't recall exactly where it was. Maybe it was Beach Fork Lake, I'm not sure. But the family was out on a little fishing trip, and we were fishing, and I was so excited. I had my little fishing rod with me, just a little old chap, and I was running around the lake trying to figure out where to cast my little line in to catch me a fish. And it just seemed like they weren't biting, wasn't catching anything, not very much success. And as I was walking along the banks of the lake, I believe it was, I looked down into the edge of the water, and I saw this school of fish. This numerous school of fish just down there swimming around right there at the shoreline. And I got so excited. I thought, look at that. And so I just took my little pole and fishing line and dropped with the little bait on it, dropped it right down in front of their faces. And their little mouths just going. But they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't eat it. And I was thinking, come on, it's right there. Bite it. Well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. So I went ahead and pulled my line back up and reeled it in. And when I did so, all of them came up at once out of the water on my fishing hook. And I thought, what in the world? And at first I was a little excited. Until I saw the other people not too far away from that fishing stringer that had been put out into the water. Those were someone else's fish that had been caught, and they had put them on a stringer and stuck them back in the water. And there I was holding their stringer of fish up on my fishing rod. And here comes my poor old dad running over saying, son, what are you doing? Trying to save the day. Save the day. Someone had made it a little too easy for me. And I guess that's the gist of the tale here. And other times, as some of you may well know who have been fishing, I remember a time up in the mountains of West Virginia, but I think around Seneca. We call them mountains, but up there in Seneca. And we were in the streams, trout fishing. And I remember sometimes when the fish come off the stock truck, they're sometimes a little sickly. You know, they're not very hungry. They hardly will bite or take anything. But we were out in the stream. Of course, we had the waders, and the fish just weren't biting, even though they were visible. So I got really desperate or aggravated, whatever you might fill in the blank there. And I jumped in the water. I thought, I'll just catch them with my hands or with a net. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to catch a fish with your bare hands. It is almost impossible. it didn't work too well. But in other words, sometimes we want it to be easy. But fishing for men's souls is never easy. Now, the Lord provides a way. He provides opportunity. He provides us with the tools, and He equips us for the job. Simon Peter, here with the Lord telling him to take his boat out, Simon Peter might have argued that he knew more about fishing. He was a fisherman after all, right? Having gone out all night fishing and having returned empty-handed, he might have debated with the Lord. Because after all, Jesus was just a carpenter, right? He was a mere carpenter anyway, in Simon's eyes, maybe. He could have debated. What if Jesus were wrong? What if they failed to catch anything? Jesus would look bad in front of the multitude. So might Peter, this professional fisherman, might look silly or something. But the Lord said, go out. Trust me. Go back out to the deep and cast your nets, Peter. Cast your nets. You know, the way of the world and people who are opposed to your relationship with Jesus Christ will attempt to destabilize your trust in Him. Ancient Israel's enemies, they tried to do the same to Old Testament Israel. Tried to cause her kings, the kings of Israel, to distrust the Lord and His protection and His promise. For example, 2 Kings 18, when Sennacherib, the Assyrians who came to conquer Judea, king of Assyria. And then, of course, there was Hezekiah, king of Judah, who was all a little bit frightful about it all. And then there's Satan, of course, who caused Eve to question the Lord, to mistrust His words, His teaching. The world does it to us. Psalm 31, verse 19 says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Now, of course, Jesus, he responds to the Lord as one might refer to as maybe his boss or his superior. He calls Jesus Master in the text. We read there in verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, verse 5, Master, We have toiled all night and caught nothing, dot, dot, dot. Now, the Greek word there is epistatus, is the word, epistatus, which is not from the fact that Jesus was a teacher. That's not what he's getting at when he calls him master. But he calls him this because of Jesus' authority. Because of who he is. And humbly, Simon rightly obeys the Lord. He rightly obeys the Lord. And so does Jesus have true authority in and over our lives as his followers? Does he have authority over your life? We don't see him bodily, as Simon there was in his presence bodily. We don't see him bodily, but nevertheless, he that is Christ is just as present right here and right now.
Amen.
As if he were bodily sitting here.
Amen.
Are we teachable? Are we wholeheartedly obedient to the Lord's leadership over our life, our family, our possessions, our money, and our church? Has he challenged you this morning by asking you to trust him in spite of human wisdom and human understanding? Faith is having trust in Jesus' authority. His authority to save you, his authority to provide for you, his authority to protect you and to reward you.
Amen.
God provides us plenty of opportunity, doesn't he, to serve him and his glory. If we look hard enough and try hard enough, it's there. He provides those doorways, those windows, those opportunities, we call them. And of course, that begs the question, what opportunities have we missed out on? Now in verses 6 through 7 of Luke chapter 5, Simon and the other disciples received God's reward for being trusting and for faith, their faithfulness, for doing as he commanded them to do. Not only in the size of the catch, but in the increase of their faith, they received a reward. You see, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, as we all know this passage, but without faith, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A rewarder. Luke chapter 5 verse 6 reads, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Because they obeyed. Their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. The Bible says they began to sink. Now, God desires to bless you, doesn't he? Not to harm you, to prosper you.
Amen.
Now, of course, that passage in Jeremiah was for Israel. But he's the same God as he is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God desires to bless his people, to prosper them. Doesn't mean we won't have trials and tribulation. But God desires to bless you, which requires this, faith in him. Jesus said, we do not have because we do not ask, or it's that we ask amiss. James chapter 4, verse 2 through 3, the Bible says. God resists the proud, the Bible says, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen. Amen.
Chapter 4, verse 6 of James. Therefore, church, we are to submit to God and his authority. James 4, verse 7. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, capital M. And try me, capital M, now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. The nets bursting and the boats sinking. There will not be room enough to receive it, his blessing. Psalm 23, David wrote this, my cup runs over, my cup runneth over. That's what a relationship, a right relationship with the Lord will do. Your cup will run over with blessings. If we are to also say the same, our faith must increase. In Luke chapter 17, later on in his gospel, verse 5, the Bible says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, to Jesus, increase our faith." Increase our faith. You know, that's so true. If you're struggling today, as many are, many have a hard time, and especially when trials and tribulations strike, calamity, turmoil, whatever you might call it in the world and in our communities and in our country. And sometimes when we see things happening that have no resolution, or an injustice that isn't dealt with, perhaps, whatever it may be, there's always things to challenge our faith. And so we must come to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, and say, "Lord, increase my faith today. I want to trust You." Now, in verses 8 through 11, we read here, to finish out the text, he says, "When Simon Peter saw it," that word "saw," note that in the back of your mind, "when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying this," notice what he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee," those sons of thunder, in other words, "who were partners," the Bible says, "with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid.'" Don't be afraid, Peter. "From now on, you will catch men."
Amen.
"And so when they had brought their boats to land, these fishermen who were now made fishers of men, they forsook all and followed him," the Bible says. They forsook all and followed Jesus Christ. Now, to relay to his readers that Simon saw, quote unquote, Luke uses a Greek word, eido, there. We read there where it says, "When Simon Peter saw it," verse 8, "saw this miracle of the Lord's." The word can mean different things here that Luke uses. It can be to see something happen. It can be to know something happened. It can be to examine, to perceive, discern, or regard something, etc., etc. And in describing Simon's reaction here, as Luke penned by the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, for the Word of God is wholly inspired, it is God-breathed, and as Luke wrote it, that Peter saw, that he saw this, his reaction, that was the consequence. Luke wanted to point out that Simon's perception of Jesus' identity was reinforced. And Peter knew in that very moment, he knew he was in the presence of the divine, of the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Hence Peter's immediate worship. Peter's immediate worship and his immediate confession: "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinner. I'm a sinner in your presence. I am not deserving." Don't be afraid, Peter. Right? "Now on you will catch men." You know, if we were to come into the very presence of Holy God today, how might we perceive the moment or react? We're in His holy presence right now. It depends on how a person regards him or herself when compared to Holy God. When we realize who Jesus truly is. And also at hearing the word being preached to us as it was preached to them in that day. Now, concerning the transgression of the wicked, Psalm 36 verse 1, David wrote this. He wrote that, quote unquote, "There is no fear of God before his eyes," that is the wicked, the sinner, the wicked, "there is no fear of God before his eyes." The Apostle Paul echoes David's oracle in Romans chapter 3, verse 18. Paul quotes from the psalm here in Romans 3:18, which is the same quote that I just read you. "There was no fear of God before his eyes." The word Paul uses is phobos, for the word fear that we translate to English, fear, and is used to mean reverence or respect for authority. That's what's happening. Peter, seeing this miracle, knowing who Jesus is, and realizes who he is in contrast. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see, a person that lacks respect for authority will also lack a reverence for God, or even God's word. Because that's just it. God's word is authoritative, isn't it? And often the result is that they cannot bring themselves to admit that they are a sinner in need of a Savior without that fear, without that recognition, that respect and reverence for who God is, His person, His holiness, as well as His holy word. Amen. They don't realize they're in need of a Savior. Peter did. Depart from me. I'm a sinner, O Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs, since we've been talking about Proverbs in Sunday school, chapter 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. When he has fear of the Lord, when he respects God and the things of God, he will not be visited with evil because he knows who his Lord is. The other disciples who were Simon's business partners, that is Andrew, James, and John, because of the miracle, they also shared in Simon Peter's realization about Jesus Christ. These men were Jewish fishermen, and they believed Jesus to be the Messiah. That's why they forsook all and followed him. They had no idea, however, that Jesus came to die on a cross for their sins. Not yet. They had no idea that he would be raised again the third day for their salvation, their justification. But Jesus did. And they trusted him. Because Jesus came to save sinners like Simon Peter. Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. And it's just those types of persons Jesus came to die on a cross for.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus assured Peter, didn't he? He called him to be his full-time disciple at this point. And from this moment on, the disciples' lives would never be the same. They would leave their fishing jobs, and Jesus would make them fishers of men. You see, it is Jesus that makes us fishers of men. But we must first be men and women of Jesus Christ. Jesus called them into sacrificial service, and these four disciples followed. Is that us this morning? Is that you this morning? Oh, we might be saved. We belong to Him. He is ours, our Lord and Savior. But are we truly His disciples today? Or is it just a part-time thing? Jesus calls all His followers into full-time service. There is no such thing as marginal Christianity. Have you surrendered to His call in your life? First to salvation, second to follow Him. And that's the thing. Full-time ministry, full-time discipleship, in other words, demands sacrifice that we are not always ready or willing to make. Me included. I am not immune to it. Sacrifices are difficult. But Jesus said they would be. If we truly love Him, it would not be easy. And although the disciples would face many challenges and times of weakness, Jesus never left them or let them down. He never left them or let them down. He loved them to the end, to the very end. And He loves them still to this day as they enjoy His mighty company in heaven. Their names are written in the Bible. We know of them today from thousands of years ago. Their names are written in God's Word because they forsook all when they followed Jesus the Christ to become fishers of men. You know, I was out and about the other day, and as all of us do, we ponder things. Thoughts run through our minds, especially whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. Now, I just happened to be over at the bowling feed there in Kentucky. Southern States, I believe it's called. On my mind, as I was standing in line with my mask on, I was wondering, questioning. Thoughts were racing through my head, and as I pondered the times that we're in these days, I thought about the difference that I, this sinful man, that I, who is now in Christ and an adopted son of the Most High God, how I might make a difference to such matters, how I might play a role in today or tomorrow's outcome. How can I make an impact? And I just continued to think about it. I thought, well, Lord, all those questions, you know, why, what, when, how come, all those things that run through your mind. And then it dawned on me, what is so obvious to me was God's long suffering. God's long suffering, that none should perish. If anything continues, His long suffering, if anything, continues to supply ample opportunity for me to cast my nets, to throw my line into the water, to go out into the deep. That is to preach, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and His saving grace. And to do this, to hold fast, no matter what. Because I realize God is long-suffering that none should perish. So I hold fast to that long-suffering to continue being a fisher of men. Until He calls me up. Until He says, your fishing days are over, old boy. Come home. Right? Let's bow our hearts. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, again, we humble ourselves before You and who You are in Your presence. You are holy God, perfect, holy, just, righteous, that You're loving, You're merciful. And Father, we're so grateful today. Use us, Father, as Your instruments. We surrender to You. We desire to surrender to You, but help us to do so. Increase our faith, Father. Help us to go out into the deep. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail to trust You, when we doubt You. Forgive us, Lord, when we misrepresent You. Forgive us, Lord, when we miss opportunities. And Lord, we do recognize Your long suffering today, that You are patient, You're kind, and none should perish, but all should come to eternal life. Lord, we know this. You've called each one of us here today. All those who are believers, all those who are followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, You've called us to fish for men's souls. For the souls of sinners, no matter what, not with partiality, we're to go out no matter what and share the good news. Father, we're thankful. Lord, we pray again for Your strength. We pray again for Your wisdom. We pray, Lord, that You make an opportunity. Continue to teach us how to fish. And may we then go out and fish. Thank You, Lord. In Your holy name we pray, Jesus our Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.